The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christine Matthews. Hello, world.
Hello. What's everybody doing today? We don't know when this episode is going to release. Hopefully pretty timely. Shelter in place. I think in most places we're in another phase in most states. Mm-hmm. I feel like everybody's kind of, at least here in the Bay Area in California, everybody's kind of like slowly, you know, going a little bit further, slowly looking at those stores that have opened on some of the streets. It's interesting.
Yeah, and we're excited to get to talk to our friends across the country today because Michelle's in the Bay Area and I'm in Arizona, and our states are vastly different in how things are moving forward as far as businesses reopening and events being hosted. So we know that every state and county and town even is dealing with their own rules for this. And with the wedding industry, we're all keeping an eye on all these possibilities, right? Like what things are going to look like. Will there be temperature checks or masks or tables of two or four? Are there going to be taped out squares on dance floors for people to, you know, dance in their
own your square?
We don't know. We don't know. And so while we work with our own clients, we're also talking to our venue manager friends, all that have been on the podcast before, except for one today, which is a connection in New York City. Yeah. So we're kind of circling back to our former guests, and they're going to call in from their different states. We have in cities, Fort Worth, Texas, outside of Atlanta, Georgia, Detroit, New York City, and San Francisco. So we're going to be checking in with our friends who are in the position of running venues and are figuring out how that's going to look, both now and potential options for the future, right?
Yeah, I think it's really cool. It just occurred to me that we are now, you know, going to be in November on our fourth year of doing this podcast, by the way, November of this year, which is 2020, we're going to be in our fourth year of doing the podcast. And it's nice that we're able to kind of recycle, like go back to people who we've either met from doing this podcast or had on before, or, you know, and can kind of go back to them and get information. It's really nice.
Yes. And we're also able to connect with their connections. So it makes our reach as two individual wedding planners much greater. Yeah. Like New York City, we didn't have a person that we have in our cell phones to just call up in New York City that runs a venue, but Jason Mitchell Kahn did, of course, and our planner friends that work there all the time can tell us who to call and set something up for us so we can get a better idea about what people are dealing with. It makes us feel humble that we're a part of a greater web. So we feel lucky to be able to share this stuff on our podcast.
And to that end, we have someone calling in right now. I'm going to admit her into Zoom. This is cool that we're able to do this. Like every 15 minutes, we're going to have a call in here.
So first is Catherine Kalabokas in San Francisco. She has been on the podcast before talking to us about Jewish weddings. She's the director of weddings and social events now currently at Julia Morgan Ballroom, which has been there forever.
Hey, Catherine.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're good. We're good. So Catherine and I are some OG wedding planners here from the Bay Area. We've known each other for quite a while, and she's been on the show a couple times now, right, Kath?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might be my third time.
I think so too. You're the longest running returner. What is it? How do we say that, Christy? Return? No. Come on, you always have the words. I never have the words.
She's
It's like, will I get a jacket like on SNL when I'm on my fifth time?
Oh my God, yes. You're going to be like Alec Baldwin. You're going to be like the most return, yeah, guest.
We were actually thinking like a pair of socks with our faces on it. You know how you can get face socks?
I like that idea.
More in our budget range. Oh. Yeah, I got
that works for me.
Socks with my face on it like 2 years ago.
Are you serious?
Like, it's like my floating face and then like pictures of tacos. And I just gave it to him because I said I wanted him to be able to wear socks with his two favorite things on them. So, you know, he wears them sometimes to humor me. Anyway, we'll get you a pair of those, Catherine, for returning to keep us updated on what is going on in San Francisco presently. You're like our man on the ground.
Woman.
On the ground.
Yeah, so Catherine, we said who you are. We already said your name, your title. You are the director of weddings and social events at the Julia Morgan Ballroom in San Francisco, which is an iconic, beautiful, like amazing venue here in the Bay Area. And prior to this somewhat new position for you, you are the owner and wedding planner of Dream a Little Dream Events, which started in what year, Kath?
2004.
Yes. Yeah. So she's been at it for a while, everyone.
So what's happening, Catherine? I know you've canceled a lot of weddings.
Not obviously. Canceled, but postponed.
Postponed. So the past couple months you've not been holding events. What's it going to, when's the first one coming up?
Well, I mean, we still had a few hanging on for September at the ballroom, but it's looking like most are moving, and I even am moving people that are in December, January to later dates already.
Okay, so actually, sorry, you do have one scheduled for September in the ballroom?
It's on the calendar.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, because what we're seeing in other states that have opened up is that the events are not what the bride and groom thought they were going to look like. So when, for instance, Ohio said, oh, you can have 300 guest weddings. Well, that meant with the 6 feet social distancing. And when you actually start to put that into a floor plan for our ballroom, we're looking at about 67 to 72 people, where we usually could even hold up to 400.
Oh, wow.
So even though a statement might be you can have this many guests, it's going to depend on your venue and the size and if you're indoor or outdoor.
Now, Julia Morgan Ballroom is privately owned or publicly owned?
Right, like, we're private.
Okay, you're a private space. Okay. So just like, have you gotten any official instructions from California or local San Francisco government about opening up and social gatherings?
Not as of this time, but I'm sure it's in the works after hearing the announcements in the previous week about restaurants and knowing how much work probably went into those guideline booklets that were given to every restaurant. I'm sure that moving forward for event and venue spaces, it's going to be something very similar in terms of this is the guidelines, here's what you have to run off, this is what you have to show us you can do in order to operate.
What are those guidelines, Kath, for restaurants that you assume you're going to have to follow?
I think the food handling is going to be the number one. Well, obviously, number one is social distancing. So keeping guests far apart, no cocktail hours, no dancing, meaning nobody convening or congregating where they're not seated separately. Wow. From anyone outside of their household.
That's just, I want to stop right there. No cocktail receptions, no dancing.
Now, this isn't 100%.
Right.
This is what I'm hearing from other states that are already opening.
Okay. Okay.
But then you'll have a state that'll randomly say, oh, yeah, no, we're doing dancing, but they're obviously not following the guidelines. So there's that too.
With cocktail and dancing is definitely a huge part of weddings for the most part. And the second part with a ceremony, what, and seating and knowing how restaurants, because my husband has 6 or 7 restaurants that he's a manager for, and they pulled chairs, which was the capacity rule. So they were having 50% capacity, but not some of the spaces were 6 feet away from each other, but some aren't, because they're like following the one. Well, you said 50% capacity, and that's what we're doing. And then it's up to guests if they're willing to come in and sit. So what, in your mind, would these say about, like, ceremony seating? Like, in a huge room, would you just have chairs and little pods, like people are kind of doing church right now?
That's what we've done. So we've created mock ceremony floor plans and reception floor plans so that when this is rolled out, we could get approval from the city. Obviously, we're in a city that's much, much more, I don't want to sound rude, but I feel they're ahead of the game. They're working with UCSF and Stanford. They're not just making up stuff as they go. Mm. We were the first ones to shut down. I think we're going to be the last ones to come out of it.
Wow.
For ceremonies, we had pods of 2s and 4s. Because you have to keep people from separate families that don't live together in separate pods. So we had each pod basically spaced out, still very pretty, but you obviously now have to add more flowers to kind of fill in those gaps.
Is there an aisle? Are you creating an aisle?
Oh, yeah, there's
pods?
An aisle.
Okay.
It's a longer aisle, or like a more windy aisle, maybe, if they have to.
Yeah.
It's all space.
The aisle is pretty good because the way we spaced it, thankfully, we're in a huge space. I'm not, say, for instance, and no jar, but the Flood Mansion is very narrow.
Yeah.
There's no way you can even have one person seated in the main hall there and have a ceremony. Mm-hmm. So luckily, we have a giant space. So I have the ability to move things out and make a very, very, very large aisle, along with keeping the guests, which turns out to be only about the 50 people that can fit.
Wow. Okay. So 50 guests. And then what are we thinking in terms of, like, if they have a wedding party, like standing up there, they're going to have to like stand like 6 feet apart, Kath.
I haven't even gotten there, because it's like you take one thing and you think about it and you're like, oh my gosh, when they go to the restrooms, does someone have to be there opening the door and handing them a new towel?
Yeah.
You know, how do you have salt and pepper shakers? What's happening?
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, when I get to that part, when I have a bride and groom, then we'll probably have to have little, you know, kind of like at the grocery store, you stand here.
Yeah. Please keep social distance, 2 carts space between each wedding party
you
member
and the next party.
Let's talk about food service. What are you thinking in terms of food service? Like, how is that going to change? Like, no cocktail reception. If we have no cocktail reception, that is because of social distancing mainly, or also because of food service?
I think both. One, you can't control it, right? You know, everyone congregates and is in usually a smaller space. So when able to keep a 6 foot distance and get them food, it just doesn't seem to work out very well. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a sit-down cocktail reception where everyone's seated and gets an individual little plate of food with a drink delivered to them. I don't know, but I was just on a very long MeetingsNet webinar about food and beverage service specifically. It was very interesting to hear what the guidelines are for other states. And I was starting to get, you know, remember when you get room service and you get the big silver thing on the top of your plate?
Yes, yes.
You know, cover. Bento boxes to go, you know, little prepackaged lunches for like large meetings. Things are not going to be coming out on open plates is what they said.
Wow. And so no family style.
No family style.
No buffet.
And no buffet.
And no long family tables. Everyone that you're sitting in those little pods for ceremony, you're sitting in those same pods.
Correct.
For dinner. I think all food service workers have to wear masks and gloves no
Absolutely.
Matter what.
Absolutely.
I think in every phase that seems, even here in Arizona where things are like super, super duper lax, the food service, you know, and drive through and everybody is wearing masks. That's kind of the one consistency. I don't think that's going to go away anytime
right.
soon.
Do the servers have to wear gloves, Catherine?
In the webinar I was on, yes. And then in the restaurant release guidelines, they do have to wear gloves. So I would only assume they would need to. And as we've been in this, you know, time off, as you would say, we've been donating meals and grocery boxes because we do have such a large industrial kitchen and our owner is very into philanthropy. Mm-hmm. So they're wearing gloves, they're wearing masks, and they're delivering these boxes and foods to local communities that
That's
need
awesome.
It. Yeah, I mean, it's been awesome to be a part of a company that's not only keeping all of us on times are tough like this, but also taking care of others that need it.
Yeah. You just reminded me. Oh, so catering is in-house at Julia Morgan, right?
It is. And we will, you know, occasionally let another caterer in based on specific, you know, dietary things and stuff like that.
Yeah, but that's part of like the package, and that's part of sometimes
right.
for a lot of people the attraction to a venue such as yours is that they can do the catering there, they can do the bar there, they've got the tables and chairs there, like everything's
right.
there. And not
they
to mention
like it.
Yeah. Julia
they
Morgan
like the one-stop shop.
I mean, yeah, it's just less to have to do, man, you know? What about taking temperatures? Have you heard anything about that?
We've heard about that. We've also, you know, I've been on other webinars with local venue managers, and they're talking about, you know, do we have to be having guests sign a waiver that if they die or get ill from COVID, that we're not held liable?
Oh, wow.
You know, this creates a whole big litigious, you know, scenario. So, yeah, I mean, there's so many things to dive into that it's kind of been mind-boggling to try to keep track of it all. But I feel the waiver might be the best way to go because you never know what's going to happen.
I think it also serves as a document of exactly who was there for all that contact tracing.
Right.
Because it's not always the exact guest list you think, or if somebody is absent, or, you know, somebody brings an extra plus one, that if there's like, you're keeping a written document of physically who is in the building, staff and guests.
Right. Along with their email, phone number. And that way, when and if a guest from that event or a staff member from that event came ill, that would have to go out to the contact tracing. Because as far as I know, no, I've heard of, you know, apps being created for this, but I haven't seen one fully executed yet.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So you don't have any guidelines yet. You're still figuring things out. We don't know when we're allowed to have social gatherings yet in San Francisco.
No.
So we don't know anything for sure, do we?
The only thing I do know is that if by August is when they're saying hair salons might open in the city, I'm feeling we're still you know, we're farther out than that. So I'm just taking that as my clue of that we're not coming back before August, obviously. And then when we do come back, what will that look like?
Yeah.
It's crazy because I can go right now to get my hair cut, sit in a restaurant and eat. And I mean, anybody on the street can just cough in my face. Like, those are my Arizona freedoms.
Wow.
That sounds fun.
Hey, Kath, thank you so much for being here once again. We'll send your socks soon. And
no problem.
Just like come back and keep us up to date. We'll let us know what's happening.
I will do. Thank you, girls. Good to see you.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, David.
Hello. How are you?
I'm well, David. How are you doing?
No complaints. As of yesterday, our governor lifted the majority of the stay-at-home order. So life slowly feeling a little more normal.
Oh, okay. Let me introduce you, since you just called in. We have David DiVincenzo out of Detroit, Michigan, and you are at the venue Plantera. PlanteraEvents.com is the website. And you were on with us. Gosh, David, it's been like
a while. It might have been last year.
I feel like it might have been 2 years.
I kind of
feel like that. How have you been?
Life is good. I'm not complaining.
Good.
I mean, I'm rolling with everything, so.
Yeah.
David, do you find that now that Schitt's Creek has really gotten its ball rolling in America, that more people say your name?
Yes. All the time? Yeah. The funny thing is, I had my personal Zoom on earlier, and actually the Schitt's Creek family portrait is my personal backdrop.
Oh, that's so funny. I love it.
Ew, David.
David.
He says it so many times.
So you just, say it again, you just found out that shelter in place is lifted? Like,
in Michigan, as of yesterday afternoon, the governor changed the stay-at-home order. So most businesses are up and running in some capacity. They've left salons, personal care, gyms as part of the next group of openings, which is slated for, I believe, 2 weeks. Events are sort of in a weird place. Officially, yesterday they said bars and restaurants can be at 50% capacity. Outdoor gatherings can be 100 guests. But they didn't quite address events otherwise. So we're all sort of figuring out with our, you know, general counsel and everyone else kind of where that leaves indoor events at the moment. Mm-hmm. Up until, or for the last 2 weeks, they allowed 10 people, and that was it. Kind of starting the end of May, middle of May through now. So we're sort of waiting to see what they say about indoor events.
So you're... The venue is a huge greenhouse, basically. So
Correct.
When you do weddings there, they're all indoors, even though they feel very
outdoor.
Correct. So yeah, so okay. Technically we're not an outdoor venue. Okay. Although, you know, we're not air conditioned. So typically our event season starts at Labor Day and we sort of wind down come mid-June. So the summer is not actually our peak. Mm. All winter, spring is more our peak. So
you might be on course for your, yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I mean, the states around us operate a little differently. You know, Ohio is already doing weddings, but in a weird way. They're allowing 300 people weddings as of yesterday, but no cocktail hour and no dancing.
Yeah.
Indiana was doing 100 people weddings, and then in the middle of June, they're jumping up to 250. And then Illinois is doing 50 people right now until the next phase.
Does capacity
so a little different?
Does the guest count like max depend on how much space there is?
Not currently.
Okay.
In March, when we were still able to do weddings before our stay-at-home order went into effect, initially there was a flat guest count capacity. And then it shifted to a 50% of capacity as your guest count. It didn't affect us greatly because we're not a particularly large venue, so we don't do 400-person events. So for us, both scenarios kind of fell within the majority of our weddings. So we don't know yet, as they open us back up this summer, if they're going to go the capacity route, the way they're doing with restaurants, or they're going to do flat guest count increments. They haven't given us that yet.
Do you have an idea of how you guys will make floor plan adjustments?
Well, you know, the most popular floor plan at our venue are those long, you know, communal style tables. So couples are really still wanting that. I think they're going to have to think about how they're grouping people, potentially having some breaks maybe in between groups of people. A decent amount of couples have already asked maybe shifting to round tables or squares to kind of be able to kind of group people a little more easily, kind of smaller groups. We have a fair amount of space because typically when we're doing our events, we don't like to have to flip anything. You know, we like the ceremony area set up, the dining, the cocktails. We like seamless. But if, you know, to make things happen for couples, we need to strike things and add things later, we can always spread things out more, add into areas of the space we might not normally do dining tables if we had to. But we can do a pretty good distancing layout in our main space for most of our weddings, because we typically don't go much over 150 for guest count.
So, okay. So you, but I just want to be clear. You have not received any info as to when or what the rules are going to be for you. This is what you're kind of going based off of what restaurants are doing right now and guessing.
Right now, you know, in the governor's, there's a 6-stage plan in Michigan. We are in stage 4.
Oh, wow.
And it goes to stage 5. Stage 6 is essentially life back to normal. There's a vaccine, you know, that kind of a scenario. So, I mean, 4 and 5 are what we're likely going to be in for the majority of this year. We don't know, obviously. I've read the governor's plan. It's not as specific as other states. Like I said, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, they have specific dates at which certain guest counts kick in. Ours is a little more vague, a little more fluid. They just say that in phase 4 and 5, there'll be guest count limitations. But until the governor does an announcement, we don't know what those are and when they may, you know, change them. You know, in June, is it a certain amount? Then July, a higher amount? We don't know yet.
Are you all wearing masks everywhere in Michigan or Detroit? Yes, Michigan.
Yeah. It's required indoors. So if you're going to a grocery store or something like that, in parks and things like that, it's not required. And you'll see people who, you know, for whatever reason want to or need to.
Yeah.
Ours is a requirement. And then we anticipate that our service and culinary staff will likely be doing masks and gloves for the foreseeable future. And then obviously for our servers, you know, we have attractive ones that are kind of more uniform for service gloves, setup gloves, you know, masks that kind of work with the uniform. And then for culinary, obviously more functional because they're not really seen by guests as often.
Yeah.
So if right now, if your first wedding happens, do you think the guests will also be wearing masks?
I don't think so, because at least right now in Michigan, they're not requiring the masks for patrons of a restaurant. They're just requiring them for staff. Now, ours, they just announced it, and it actually goes into effect a week from yesterday. So the 8th is when they're genuinely opening back up restaurants and bars. So there's no indication they have to wear masks during that time.
Got it.
So different. Yeah. How about food service? Like we were just talking to you, Catherine, who's works at a venue here in San Francisco. She really feels like it's going to be plated only with like a cover over the plate, like no buffet, no family style, no cocktail receptions. Do you all feel like that's going to be what happens for you?
I don't know in terms of what a regulation might be, but I can just think about what are people going to be comfortable with. You know, for us, our main service is past cocktail hour, and we're always doing plated salad, plated entree. We don't really do family style or buffet, but we've also thought through, you know, normally during cocktail hour, we'll often have like a charcuterie display or like a cake of cheese. are people going to be comfortable with that this fall? We don't know. So we've kind of done recipes with Chef to do like a personal plated charcuterie set at the dining table, doing a mini cheese tower per person plated, thinking about plated starters like you might do in a restaurant if, for whatever reason, they might limit cocktail hour. So we're definitely kind of thinking of all these plan Bs and Cs, just kind of based on whether it's a requirement or it's just what people are comfortable with.
Is Plantera a public space when you're not open for events? Like, can people go in there and like pay admission and go look around?
No. So okay. We are a private space. At one point we were doing plant retail out of the space as well. That doesn't really happen anymore. We can do special orders for people who aren't like our long-term corporate, you know, our residential clients. But you can just walk in and go shopping or walk in and hang out. All appointments are, you know, scheduled. It's not like a walk-in scenario. So that kind of helps us in terms of controlling access. And when we're doing our cleaning schedule, you know, we have a better sense of, you know, when things are cleaned and people coming in and out and who they are.
And I also wonder about when you do open up, like being a privately owned space, like if you can, to a certain extent, like there might be guidelines, but you all can do what you want more or less, you know what I mean? Because you're a private space.
I don't know about that because we're still, you know, a corporation. I do know through a lot of people I chat with in the industry, there are a fair amount of people that this summer intend on doing weddings on their property. You know, they're home, they're on a lake, you know, and they sort of take the approach that this is my private property. I'm inviting people to join me for dinner. What are the chances the police are going to break it up? I don't know. You know, what is the fine? $1,000? What is that in the course of a wedding? I think when it comes to private homes, I think you have a lot more flexibility because there's no public accommodation at all.
I agree.
Event planner yourself, like working these events after you've decided about the food service, you decided about the floor plan, is it going to be something you present to clients as an option about like maybe waivers as people come in or something that says their name and their email in case there's like contact tracing necessary? Are you going to sanitize people's hands? Are you going to take their temperatures? Are you going to give them a full body scan?
Depends on how they look.
What are some options?
You know, a friend of mine who works in a salon in New York, they're reopening next week. And, you know, as the elevators open onto the floor of their building, you're in the salon, they install body temperature scanners at the elevator when they exit the door.
Whoa.
We're not going that route. With the weddings that we had before our event ban kind of stay at home started, we did our best to kind of encourage more social distancing. You know, if it was say a 50 person or 60 person ceremony before the reception, could we spread that out a little more? We had like decorative dispensers with hand sanitizer in them at the entry, at the bars, you know, outside of the bathrooms, inside of the bathrooms. I think it would be important for couples to have, you know, their guests and emails always handy. I think that, you know, in case for whatever reason, you know, someone did need to be contacted, that it's really at their fingertips to say, hey, you know, contact your guest list, you know, this or that. We don't have an official plan on that. On the staffing end, you know, we're going to be doing everyone's temperature before they come in. We've already started in our space as a whole, multiple sanitizing processes and increasing how frequently. And most of our staff, when they're going back into the office, they're going to be on like an day A, day B, just to kind of, you know, minimize how many people in the office at once.
Like my husband's restaurant, they have all these new ways to sanitize everything, but also like every 20 minutes. So it's like the song at Cold Stones, you know, Creamery, whatever, when they like sing the song. It's almost like everybody puts down what they're doing. And the reason that they're doing that is so that the routine just gets enmeshed in what all the things are already doing. Right. This is one more thing. You don't have a choice. Put everything down and you do your sanitation job, whatever that is, and then keeping records of that. And that, you know, is a lot, but it has to just be the new normal for places when people are coming in and out all the time, which is the is what's happening with service industry and events. So,
and when we were doing those last few events, you know, we had, you know, all of the black service gloves, and they would, you know, have every time they went out for a tray pass of hors d'oeuvres, they come back, change them. In between these courses, change them, you know, wash hands, sanitize as much as you can. We had extra service staff added into our matrix just to help more with the portering of glassware and sanitizing the surfaces, knowing that, you know, you have the people taking care of guests, you have the people taking care of the food, and then we needed more bodies to just simply help with all that additional cleaning in between, just to be super safe.
Is there going to be, like door handle? Like Catherine talked about, like, do we need people at the front doors opening doors and the bathrooms opening doors, like handing people towels? That's manpower. Is that possible that some of your staff might have to shift into those types of roles?
Well, the wonderful thing is our main entry into Planetaire are automated doors. So our main entry and exit are no touch. Our service doors for culinary can be no touch. Obviously guest washrooms, those are touched. So it's either going to be a matter of having both a combo of hand sanitizer and maybe a towelette, you know, on the outside of each washroom. You know, normally we always have some of our staff who are kind of greeters slash, you know, counters who's coming in. Maybe that person shifts over and might need to be almost like a bathroom area attendant. We're open to do whatever we need to do. And we're being super flexible. I mean, I've been looking into with our catering partner, like if we have stronger restrictions for say the next month or two, for whatever reason, like maybe it's a 15 or 20 person ceremony, you know, then you can stream it to people who couldn't be there. And then we create like a really nice to take home either cocktail hour or dinner box per couple. So as those 15 or 20 people left the ceremony, they have like two bottles of wine and like a charcuterie plate or a full dinner that they kind of leave with and go home. If we need to do a 25 person full wedding or 50 person full wedding, we've done those menus, kind of those layouts, so that whatever B, C, D, E plan we need, we'll do it. Like we're, whatever we have to, we'll do.
Right now, I mean, you said your season is more like fall, right? Starting in fall. Do you have a wedding right now on the books, like that hasn't been rescheduled for 2020?
Yeah.
When's the first one?
So it's the Labor Day weekend, so starting that Friday. And, you know, we have couples from the spring who had to postpone, and some moved toward the end of this year. Some chose to go into next year. I have couples in two camps. You know, most of my couples or most of the guests are, like, say, the Midwest. By hook or by crook, they want that wedding to happen on that date. And, you know, if it takes up until a month out to make that final call, they'll do it.
Wow.
I have a lot of couples who don't currently live in Michigan any longer. So maybe they're in New York and then their husband's family is in Connecticut and their family's in Detroit and their friends are everywhere. Or I have a lot of couples this fall whose families are in mainland China. China stopped the visa process to the US. So I could host a 200 person wedding, but it's irrelevant if their mom and their dad and their grandma and their sister can't attend. So the couples for whom that's the case, the wedding can't happen based on those international restrictions, they are making that call to push into next year because they know they can't have the wedding they want to this year. But I have a lot who, you know, they want that date and they're going to hold off and see how things progress and what we're allowed to do. And then maybe come, you know, August, looking at September saying, you know what, they're saying it's 75 people, that's just not doable. Or, you know, we might need to wear masks, so let's postpone. Others might say, you know what, I can do 50 people. I'll just do family, you know, and my closest friends, and that's wonderful. So
yeah. Some people are more comfortable making the call either way much later.
Correct.
Yeah. Oh, that would drive me crazy as a wedding planner. I would, you know, just like waiting and like you're playing chicken, how it's going to go.
Well, Matt, you know, I've been saying to different couples for this fall, the spring was almost easier. It was so unexpected. It was so emotional for those couples, but the choice was made for them.
Yeah, it was obvious.
The wedding's not happening.
Yeah.
All the couples, September, October, they're going through this like mental tornado of should I, shouldn't I, can I, won't I, when will I know? And I think
when do I have to make the decision? Yeah. Well, thank you for calling and letting us know what's happening out there. We'll include links to all these venues on our show notes, everyone. And check out David's episode that he recorded with us before was about planning your wedding. Speaking of a short timeline for making decisions, it was all about planning your wedding in a 90-day timeline, basically. So
We're
happy to have you back for this one. And we'll hit you up for some info and photos in September when you know kind of how things are
going
to look.
What the hell is going on, man?
Absolutely.
Thank you, David.
Be safe.
You too.
Thanks, you too.
Bye.
This is fun.
I know. Okay, we've got Lindsay waiting. You want to...
Lindsay, yes. So we talked to Lindsay from Brick Venue in Texas, in Fort Worth, Texas, a venue I used to work at when I lived there, and I love, love, love it, and I love Lindsay, and she was on an episode all about venue visits and questions you should ask and how venue managers and owners kind of run their individual show for each couple and contracts, and she answered a lot of questions that people have about venues. So we're happy to have Lindsay Blau back. I was keeping up with Lindsay on social media when all of this in March was happening and things went really fast, how fast the rules were changing.
Yeah.
So I want her to speak to that a little bit if she can when she's here about they had to pivot as a venue so many times. And it's like as soon as they figured out the rules for one type of mandate, then they would line up weddings according to that, and then it would change again, like before the wedding could even happen. So she had to go back and forth a lot.
Lindsay?
Hi.
There you are.
Yes, I'm sorry, guys. I guess I had a little technical difficulty.
It happens.
No problem. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so good. How are y'all?
Good.
We're fine. I mean, considering
we're making it.
Yeah,
it's a weird world.
Yes.
I was just introducing you or telling everyone about the episode that you were on before and then how I was keeping track with you. Give us a little recap of what you've been going
through. Well, yeah, so when this all started happening in March, we were just kind of watching it and we're thinking surely they're not going to go all the way to nobody allowed in the venue, but it just seemed like every week, or it wasn't even weeks, it was like every 2 days.
Yeah.
It was only 200 or less, 120 or less, 50 or less, and I'm like, okay, and then it went to 10 or less, and I'm like, okay, well, at this point where we are, people are just going to the Justice of the Peace, and I'm sitting here thinking like, my venue's got to be prettier than that courthouse. It's got to be prettier than it's got to be more sanitary than the courthouse.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we didn't make any money off of it. It wasn't about making money. It was just offering couples an option other than going to the courthouse. So we probably had about a dozen couples sign up for these kind of small ceremonies, 10 people or less. Celebration and
real quick,
in the middle of our first one. Yeah, sorry.
Well, tell us about your venue. I should have started with that.
But oh,
you own the venue. It's a two-story building, and what's the capacity?
Three. Well, so all the things you learn in COVID. So technically, legally, on our certificate of occupancy, our occupancy is 930.
Whoa!
But yeah, which. I mean, Chrissy, you've been in my venue, you know. It's 300. We can fit 300 people in there. And that's the number we're really going off of even today.
Okay.
So we went from 300, 200, just kept getting slashed down, and understandably so. So, yeah, Brick is a warehouse, and it's two levels. And we have an outdoor area, which has become – way more important than it ever has in the past, the last couple weeks. And we're just south of downtown Fort Worth. So we're kind of tucked off a main road there, but still very urban.
So, and, what's the current rules you're working within?
Current rules we're working within are 25% occupancy.
So you're allowed to have social gatherings with 25% occupancy right now?
We are allowed, and we have had them.
Oh, wow. Already. When did you start having them?
Probably 2 weeks ago.
Whoa. Okay.
I know. 25%. Have it 900?
No, gosh, no. We're not going off 900 because
okay.
We're going off the 300 because we're not going to push our luck here. So the ones we've had have been very small, like 50 people, smaller than that. Because even though you're allowed to have more people, technically, clients and guests aren't coming out in droves ready to have full-blown weddings. We're stepping in and they're stepping in with us, and we're just kind of holding our hands and maneuvering our way through this. So our first kind of significant event will be in mid-June, and I think it has 150 people. And
wow.
We're thinking by then we'll be at 50 or closer to 75 capacity. Seeing it here in Fort Worth, I mean, there's other venues too that are already at 50. The fit, we're for sure, and we're safe, and we're in within guidelines of at 25%. 50% is kind of gray, and the reason it is, and I'm sure somebody else has said this, is well, I don't know. It's statewide. Our state, they will release every 2 weeks an update, and we expect another one today or tomorrow from the governor. But they don't specify wedding venues or weddings. So after the first phase for Texas came out and we were at 25%, for about 3 days, venues were on the fence on really, does that include us or not? And then the government came back and said ceremonies should be treated like religious services. And so we needed to follow church guidelines, essentially, and receptions would be treated like restaurants.
Okay.
And we would follow restaurant guidelines. So that's what we've been operating in the last 2 weeks. Then it was supposed to go to 50, but again, they didn't specify wedding venues. So some have gone ahead and taken that leap to 50%. We haven't yet.
So ceremonies like churches, like people sit mm-hmm. in like these kind of pods we were saying earlier with another guest, like.
Yes.
How does a floor plan look for that for you right now?
Right. So at 25%, that's about 50 people. We're saying 50 to 75, but really it's 50 people. And we got plenty of room for that. So the real question that all of us have been having is, hey, we can put up signs and hand sanitizing stations, and we can encourage social distancing, but whose job is it to police the social distancing?
Good question.
And so what I've talked to several lawyers about it, and they're like, it's really not clear. So what I've done is we have an addendum that we are requiring the clients to sign on behalf of their guests, which essentially says the venue will do everything it possibly can within the guidelines, everything within the guidelines that the government has outlined, and we will set you up for success. So we're going to spread the tables out and spread the chairs out, and we're going to set you up for successful social distancing, but we're not going to police you. You're going to have to be responsible for your own body. Yeah. There's no way we can do it. And then how are we supposed to know who's a family unit and who's not?
Right.
It's impossible. So,
what are you guys doing?
The legality
of it. Kind of saying like everyone's responsible for themselves, and we have a piece of paper that backs that up. Mm-hmm. Legally, like that you're not liable.
That we're not liable.
Because you followed all the guidelines that had been set out to set up the space physically, and then how they move through that space is on them.
We will Exactly. And we'll help them. Like, we'll put X's on the floor and hand sanitizing stations throughout the venue. We'll have someone, a staff member there that just wipes down surfaces constantly, doorknobs and bathroom. I mean, just that's their entire job for the duration of the event, is just to have a Clorox wipe and just wipe things down. The other aspect to Brick, and I know every venue is different, is we're open vendor. So we also have an additional document that we require vendors to sign before they can come on property that basically says the same thing, that you're following all the guidelines. We're not going to police you, but you will do X, Y, and Z. You're not going to come in the building if you're not feeling well. You're going to wear gloves. You're going to wear masks. You are basically vouching that whatever service you're bringing into the venue, that you are following all government guidelines. And same thing with that. I was asked, what are you going to do about the bar? Well, if I start policing the bar and how they serve guests, then I become responsible for that bar.
Mm-hmm.
So they signed a document, the client signed a document, and after that, I'm not going to tell them how to do it. They're going to follow whatever guidelines they want, whether that's a screen or whether that's, you know, 6 feet separation if you're waiting for the bar, or whether that's tableside service. They can do any of those things. So it's tricky. And I will get worked up about it and get nervous about the legalities of it. And then I remember, you know, the client is the one wanting to host this party. I'm not forcing them to have this wedding.
Right.
They're within their rights to reschedule or cancel. The guests, they're invited. They're not required by law to come.
Yeah, it's not jury duty.
At some point, it's kind of like on you. If you're worried about it, then I recommend staying home. If you're so confident that you can wash your hands and social distance and wear a mask, then come on out.
Do guests have to wear a mask in terms of guidelines?
No, they do not. That is a big question. We don't have to. We are, obviously, because it makes everybody feel safer.
Okay.
And I'm all about making my clients feel safe and secure and happy. And it just makes them more comfortable. And they can require their guests to wear a mask if they want to. But we're not going to force anybody to do that.
Lindsay, before we let you go, I have a question. Are you doing cocktail receptions?
Cocktail receptions as in like nobody sitting down and eating?
Yeah, I guess I'm hearing a lot about the way food service has to be handled in different states.
Yes.
And can you do past hors d'oeuvres? Can you do buffet, family style? I mean, what are you doing for that?
Right. Well, I've talked to a lot of caterers that I'm close with just to ask, hey, what are you doing and what do we need to be prepared for? Most of them are doing a plated meal where guests are sat and then the meal is delivered, because that's less passing through. If they are doing a buffet, there's one caterer that would do buffets I heard of. They want a double wide table. So, you know, your standard buffet table, 6 foot long, 30 inches wide. They want two of them side by side. So there's 60 inches between the server serving the food and the guest waiting in line. In association with that, the caterer wants to work very closely with the MC on how and when they release tables. All that to say that everybody is encouraging plated meals if they're going with plated meals, not doing any past. If it is past, the server is taking it off the tray to hand to them. But even then, if anybody's serving food, it is plated is the way that we're going here in Texas.
Mm-hmm. And so are you doing cocktail receptions with past hors d'oeuvres?
No.
Okay.
We haven't had anybody ask, but...
So you're going straight from ceremony to dinner?
Ceremony to dinner.
Is there dancing?
Dancing, yes. At Brick, what we're doing, we have a very large outdoor space. So we have two floors and an outdoor space. So we're asking that at least one part of their day be outside so that we can have a large dance floor. So they can have their ceremony upstairs, their dinner downstairs, and then outside can be dancing. Or they can do their ceremony outside, dinner inside, and then upstairs do dancing. The only reason for that is it's a massive space. So
yeah,
you have, again, we're setting you up for success. Like, you have this huge amount. You can go dance in that corner by yourself 6 feet from everybody else and have a grand old time. But if we have a small dance floor, then it's really not, you can only have like 5 people out there and nobody's down for that.
Okay.
But people are wanting to dance. It's the strangest thing. I thought they would be looking into other entertaining options, and they're like, oh, hell no, we're dancing.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, oh, well, that's kind of human nature for celebrating and feeling good, you know, dancing.
Right. And there's a lot more we can do outside just because it's safer outside. So we're trying to push the dancing and the entertaining part outdoors where they have more room and wind and elements.
And bar, they can go up to the bar and order a drink?
If there's a screen up, just like you're checking out at Target, I've talked to a lot of bartenders that are creating these kind of portable screens, plexiglass screens that they can attach to bars.
Yeah.
With a pass-through. And, of course, like distance line, they're asking for a significant amount of space in front of the bar so that the line can be spread out. I just equate bars to like checking out at Target.
Yeah.
Spread out. Wear gloves, wear a glass, or have a glass and wear a mask. And I mean, after that, that's, I still have to swipe my credit card. So we will exchange this drink as best we know how. But people aren't going to stop drinking either.
No.
So it's like keeping the economy alive right now.
You're the first venue that I speak to that is open and having events. So I'm just like,
oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, we've jumped in.
So the biggest changes obviously are the size and no cocktail reception, right? So
yeah, that's mingling and talking to people and no, even if they did want a cocktail hour, it would have to be outside where there's a massive, I mean, there's plenty of room. For me, more so than the guest count is the socially distant. Can we maintain social distancing?
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the part that gets us in trouble. And I think that's where this 25, 50%, 75%, that's how Texas is doing it for all businesses. They're stair-stepping us back in by capacity.
Yeah.
And what still amazes me through all of this is I have more brides calling that they're going to have to reschedule than worried about anything else. They are ready to get married.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they have to cut their guest list, they're ready to cut it. And if, you know, Uncle Phil from New York can't make it, Uncle Phil can't make it. Like, they're moving forward. And that's a big part of this, because ultimately what my contract says now and what they have to sign is you're the one throwing this party. You're the one hosting it.
Yeah.
I'm covering my butt, but you, if you're going to invite whoever you're going to invite, like you're the one who's going to be liable for this.
Yeah.
If there's a packed dance floor, that's not on me. You know, so interesting. It's weird. It's interesting.
Thank you so much, Lindsay. This was this is very exciting to hear somebody's doing events. So, yay!
Now we're in it slowly. But come July, we have one every weekend. So we're hoping for the best. We'll see how it happens.
Well, we'll have to check back in with you. Good luck.
Me too.
Have fun.
Thank you.
Be safe.
Bye.
Thank you again.
Absolutely, it's my joy. Bye, ladies.
Bye. Hello, Julie.
Hi.
Hi, Julie. This is Michelle.
I'm Christy. Nice to
Hi.
Nice to meet you. Okay. Thanks for coming on. You're calling in, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Good. How are you, Julie?
I'm doing okay. I'm surviving right now. Yeah. How are you guys?
We're doing okay too. We're you know, trying to push on and put some content out there. And I want to officially introduce you and who you are. This is Julie. Last name is Garces. Is that how you pronounce it?
Garces, yeah.
Garces. Director of Business Development at LT Hospitality in New York City. And so there's quite a few venues under you, right, Julie?
So we do have, a portfolio, mostly of restaurants, but we do have event spaces, and we have one in particular. It's 11,000 square feet right in Chelsea in New York City.
And it's called Second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice. So basically, Jason Mitchell Kahn, lovely Jason, recommended we speak to you for this episode. And we've spoken to a few other venues in different states already. And in New York City, so you're in the heart of Manhattan there, are you allowed to do any social events or gatherings at this time?
Right now, no. Okay. We are part of, we live in a building that is partially a hotel, which we aren't affiliated with outside of a partnership in the building. And then we have our restaurants. Our restaurants are closed. We, they're starting certain ways of business like takeout in June. But as of right now, without any true guidelines on what an event could even look like, we aren't opening based on that. Now we're ready to open, we are always just kind of ready with what's going on, but we are essentially waiting for government guidelines.
And what is the capacity at Second, the venue there? Second Floor NYC is the website, I should say.
Correct. It's 800 guests is our capacity, but the venue is also designed that it can close into a set of five different rooms. Some are smaller, some have a capacity of 20, and some are like 150. We're in a lucky position that when we do reopen, we can obviously use those in ways that, will protect and help our clients and make it possible for us to do events.
Yeah.
But, in different capacities than we've ever done before. But yeah, right now we are considered like a large venue.
Do you have any idea on when you're going to be able to do venues in New York? I mean,
to do events?
Events. Thank you. Yes.
As of right now, it's looking like fall. You know, what you're up against then is less when we're allowed to do it and when our clients are going to want to do it. I mean, we can, I'm sure your guests that are speaking to you too are, I would assume, saying the same thing from other states. Even if we got the go to hold 150 or whatever it may be, I don't truly know if a client's going to feel comfortable having those events with us, or anywhere. But fall is when we're slated to open and be available to host an event with us. It's all will play out, how clients are feeling comfortable.
Have you talked to other managers and people in your industry about what they might look like for the people that are comfortable in terms of
masks,
just a given?
Or? Yeah. Yeah, sure. So, I can tell you a little bit, on our end, say we're opening in fall to do an event, say like we're ready to go. What that's going to look like for us are, is gear on our staff, masks, gloves, whatever we're having. Specifically, we're having gloves custom made. Masks custom made. So, in terms of safety and cleanliness steps that we're taking, that'll all be done. In terms of what we're offering to clients, we've had some clients that would do 150 guests for a conference in a one day, 9 to 5. we're offering a similar price for a 2-day event where you have 75 people and we seat them 6 feet apart or whatever it may be by fall, 4 feet apart. The way that I'm working is that I have those floor plans already made. And if someone comes to us with the idea of an event, or if someone already had an event on the books and they are, there's a chance they have to cancel it, I'm immediately sending out and saying, like, look, you still have an option with us this year. You know, we're still here. We'll still help you host this. We'll still be a home for it. And here are some ideas. Not really affecting costs so much, you know, because we're trying to be super sensitive to both our social milestone clients and our corporate clients. You know, we're being very flexible with the terms on our contract with cancellations and reschedules, but we are also trying to retain any business that clients feel comfortable keeping with us.
That's interesting. We were just talking to another venue owner in Texas, and you're going to, I was shocked. It's the first time I ever spoke to anybody that has been open for 2 weeks and been holding events, weddings. Can you believe that?
No, I can't. However, I can't. However,
yeah.
I have friends in Texas, and my, you know, actually my best friend is from Texas, and she has called me and she was like, what, I don't even know a single person that has gotten sick. I don't know. I can't really tell you anyone I've seen recently wearing a mask. I'm like, oh my God, this is a lifestyle for me.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle up in New York.
Yeah.
It's a different world.
I'm the same here in the San Francisco Bay Area, Julie. It's like, and Christy's in Arizona and she's like, people are giving me dirty looks because I'm wearing a mask. And I'm like, oh my God, like that's, it's just crazy.
It's well, so as a San Franciscan, you can certainly appreciate it too. But listen, I stay upstate. I took my son out of the city just while, you know, when it was really bad with the pandemic, and now with the protests, I'm glad we're up here. But listen, I'm in upstate New York, less than 2 hours from New York City, and I too get weird looks wearing my mask and everything into some of the stores up here and around around the downtown. So it's just a matter of where you are. Would I feel comfortable holding an event anywhere in the United States right now? Large? No. But as soon as we know more and see how people are handling it and what they'll do in the fall, then I feel like I'll be more comfortable. And I think our clients should be too.
For sure. I think it's very much, you know, that's why we're doing this state by state, or at least 5 different states, to get the perspectives. I feel like it's all based on where you're at and your comfort level and, you know, how bad it's hit there in the state that you're in. You said you have started some floor plans already to give guests or clients ideas. When is your next wedding that's like on still the books? On. Sorry?
Yeah, still on.
Still on. Like that is a confirmed so far, not yet rescheduled. Like when would your next one be, provided you were able to open up and have it?
January.
Oh, wow. Okay. So nothing for 2020.
I believe right now I have 2 bat mitzvahs scheduled for November, and I got the call this morning from their event planner that they're exploring options.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't see social, those types of clients. I don't see, you know, they have the flexibility to move. I mean, especially a wedding, you do have flexibility there. And I think even if November and December were really, it felt safe to do the event, I feel like, and what I have told some of my brides is, if you think you're going to come into the wedding in November and still in the back of your head have that worry or that discomfort, unpack it, because we can move it till next year. You're not going to get a penalty from us. And if you feel better having it next year and you're not going to worry about that, don't do it, move it, because that is all you're going to remember about that day is, well, I was worried about this. I was worried about this. I was worried about my grandmother sitting too close to, you know, a group of people. It's, I have to just unpack all that, just move it. So like I said, we didn't penalize anyone for moving or rescheduling dates. So it made it easier for my clients to do that.
That's awesome. And you're part of a large hospitality group, correct? Like owned by a corporation?
No, it's not. We're actually a small group. We do have a great portfolio under it, but we're small. It's a small owned, a privately owned small hospitality group. We just have some really great people behind us that are understanding and did their best to make it possible for us to be as good as we could to the people that have worked with us, our corporate and social clients.
Yeah. Have any of your properties been affected by any of the riots or looting or anything in New York?
We have boarded up our we have two restaurants, one on 29th and 6th and one right next door or two doors down on 30th and 6th. And as of yesterday, we were boarded up. That's the direction we're protesting is up straight up 6th Avenue into Times Square. We didn't have any damage. So, I mean, that's lucky. But no, we did not have any damage.
Well, good. Julie, thank you so much for coming on. Did we have any other questions for Julie Christie? I feel like we went over them pretty well, everything, right?
Yeah, I mean, with not having, social events until January, then you're, like, our questions about food service and sanitation and staffing, like, all of that will be...
You don't really know any of that yet, right, Julie?
Down the line.
I mean, what I can touch on a little bit, listen, anything in terms of safety and cleanliness and service, all of that, that'll be dictated by the Department of Health and the CDC, and we will go over and beyond to make sure that, all steps are taken, whether it's temperature being taken of our team as they come in, hand washing through in between each service, of course, all of that. In terms of, other stuff, we've looked into instead of ever, we did a lot of movable feasts and station meals and fun cocktail action stations, cocktail parties. We're looking into custom made bento boxes that would be pre-made for everyone and then sealed and they can go up and take those. We've looked into all sorts of, we're looking into all sorts of things that are going to make safety number one, and then also, the client feel better about what they're doing with us.
Yeah, very good. Julie, thank you again. We appreciate it. And
yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have to check back in with you once things are up and running.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do a follow up.
Awesome. Stay safe, Julie. Thank you again. Have a good day. Rest of your day, evening.
Thank you.
You too. Thanks.
Bye. And now, Miss Dixie.
Hey, y'all.
Okay, so this is Dixie Bagley, owner and wedding planner of The Farm in Rome, Georgia. Dixie has been on the podcast before. We had a lot of fun on our episode, and Dixie's a listener and she is a Patreon member, and we love Dixie. We very much appreciate you, Dixie, and we knew you're like the first name that came up when Christy and I are like, we need to do a venue catch up. Yeah, we have to call Dixie. And we've called on a few past guests, and so Dixie, you own your venue in Rome, Georgia, private estate. How far are you? What's your next major city closest to you?
Probably Chattanooga.
Okay.
An hour away.
Chattanooga. Okay. So are you able to have events as of today, which we are in early June?
Yeah. So the funny thing is, I've never, and I'm along with a bunch of other privately owned estates, we've never been told we can't do anything. So because we're a private estate, it's not technically been banned. it's just the guidelines and the recommendations of what to do. But of course, I think I told you earlier, Berry College down the road is, you know, a college, and they do weddings, and they are banned from doing weddings. So technically, I could have kept on rolling if I wanted to.
But you stopped.
Well, my couples chose to postpone. But most of my couples are, the couples that postponed that I had booked, majority of my couples anyway, are destination clients. So either they or their families are flying in to come here for their wedding.
I see. So do you, when is your next scheduled wedding that's on the books and hasn't rescheduled yet?
Well, I just booked one yesterday for June 27th.
Whoa.
But other than that, my next is July 11th.
Oh, wow. Okay. So tell us then, are there any guidelines or anything that have come down to you in terms of from the CDC or the health or the state that you need to adhere to?
Well, they're saying that wedding venues should adapt to the same guidelines for restaurants, which kind of makes no sense because I'm not a restaurant at all. So they're saying that that's what we need to do. And what that is restaurants. The only way that pertains to me is it says 10 people per 300 square feet. Well, my venue's 7,000 square feet. So that means I can have 233 people.
Whoa.
For a regular wedding in the regular world, was it indoor, outdoor mostly, like both spaces? How would it look before all this? And how might you change things so that more stuff is outside or, I don't know, in bigger spaces?
Most of our people choose to stay outside here anyway. We do have a fabulous ballroom that can seat 250 people. But, I mean, it's pretty, but people come here for this barn. It's European style, you know, and just unique. So people really want to be outside. So majority of my weddings remain outside. If anything is upstairs, it's typically just dinner. And that's normally because they've chosen to do it at a time of year that's really cold or really hot, and they need to be up there with that AC. For the most part, everybody plans on being outside. Even for the ballroom, like I said, it's a really big ballroom. So we've got a lot of flexibility and, you know, able to accommodate most wedding parties in that ballroom, still keeping with the, you know, 6 people per table only, which is what they're recommending, which still ain't going to keep people 6 feet apart.
But you can accommodate that 6 per table with what you already have. Space and inventory. Got it.
Is your wedding that you just...
I think the only thing that really that I'm going to have to kind of push on people is just, you know, encourage maybe, a standing only ceremony with just seating for the immediate family on like first row seating, just because it's not, even if I put chairs out 6 feet apart, I'm fairly certain the guests would move them. So I think protecting me on my end, you know what I mean? If I don't provide that as an option and the couple's okay with that, I mean, most ceremonies are 20 minutes at most anyway, that's going to be my suggestion that we go with. The wedding I just booked, it's 60-person wedding, and they're fine with standing room only for the ceremony.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to ask. 60-person wedding. That's small for you.
Yeah, I love it, though. Those are my favorite.
Yeah. And are they all local, Dixie?
No, they are not local. They, I think they live about 2.5 hours away from here.
Okay, but they're in Georgia. I mean, they're driving. Right. You don't need to fly.
Yes. Right.
Well, that's great. They must be so excited.
Yeah, I hope so.
You must be excited. Like, let's do this.
I'm ready. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've had a lot of good quality downtime to, you know, hear my inner thoughts, which I don't normally get to do. So, and to reevaluate things, but you know, I'm ready to, you know, see some people having a good time.
What about food service? How are you gonna handle that? Because you do in-house food, correct? You have your own staff for that?
I have nothing to do with food. I have a prep kitchen only.
Oh,
and so people get to pick their own caterers. So that's going to be interesting to see the way, you know, the different caterers adjust to this. I've got a wedding in September for 250 people that is a plated and served 5-course meal. And it's one of the bigger caterers in Atlanta. It's going to be interesting to see how they, what adjustments they make to their service and how, you know, they have to change things up. And also to the other people who've been providing buffets, because buffets are not going to be a thing anymore.
Right.
So that is a change that y'all, the caterers might say, we're going to do a buffet, and you would say, no, you're not.
If I said no, I can't technically push that on them. That's still because we're not affiliated together. If they break those rules, that's them. You know, the consequences are going to fall back on them, not me. But, you know.
That's exactly what
it's just
our friend from Texas was saying, too, with her own venue. It's not also where she lives. She owns the building. She doesn't own the actual property and land. But she was talking about how she's going to make all the physical adjustments necessary for people to follow the guidelines. But if they don't follow the guidelines with that, her hands are, she's not going to be the enforcer.
Right. And like, you know, speaking from that, I really can't enforce that. That's a breach of my contract for me to change my contract and enforce people to wear masks per se. You know, and then I can't enforce other people to, you know, adopt practices into their business because I want them to. That'd be great if I could. Man, everything would be my way. but I can't. I really am going to be surprised if people don't just show back up for weddings and just kind of naturally fall back into their natural process. I mean, they're coming to drink. You can't wear a face mask and drink. You know,
right.
Do I think they'll be more careful about the way they do things? Absolutely. But I don't foresee people, you know, coming and wearing a mask and staying 6 feet apart, you know what I mean? And all that. It's really hard. Otherwise, why come?
For sure. That's for the first time last weekend, a friend invited me over. My son, her and my son are friends. And she's like, enough of this. Like, let's get together. Let's have the boys for a play date. So there were four boys, and they're, you know, they're 12 and they're very well aware of what's going on. But they were in the pool, you know, and we were like, okay. And she's like, and moms, come over around 5:30, have a drink. And I was like, oh my God. Okay. And we were there, we were in the backyard the whole time, you know, but I was so excited to go there, and it drove 5 minutes to get to her house. And I was so excited. And then once I got there, I was like, Hey, Tiffany. Hey, Amy. Like, kind of, we're all like kind of feeling each other out. Like, does she want me to sit next to her? And, you know, it was, you know, after 5 minutes, we all had warmed up already and drinking our drinks and, you know, eating chips from the same bowl. And then I was like, oh my God, like, should we be eating chips from the same bowl? Like, but we all knew, like, we all know each other, and we all know that we've all been staying here in our little town city that we live in. But it occurred to me, my third drink in, that we were just like, nothing had ever happened. And, you know, like laughing. And I grabbed her phone that she had dropped. And for a second, I was like, ooh, you know, her phone, I just touched her phone. So it's interesting because that you brought that up, because it occurred to me that, like, the more people are, the hours pass and the drinks they've had, they're just gonna be like, fuck it. You know, like, let's just go back to normal, for better or for worse. I don't know, but that's bound to happen, right?
I think so. And I think the people who are really, really, really concerned with this hopefully will not come. You know what I mean? Because if they do, they're going to be unhappy because it's going to be, you know, it's like herding cats, you know, when you're working a wedding and trying to get everybody to follow directions, just the wedding party is like herding cats.
Yeah.
When you're doing, you know, trying to make 150 people all do the same thing, it's just damn near impossible.
Yeah. Yes. So It will be interesting. Are you doing anything, like, let's say, like, for the bathrooms? You know, like, are you putting hand sanitizer? Are you going to have bathroom attendants? Like, what are you doing?
I gave that a lot of thought, the hand sanitizer stations, but the bottom line was, you know, unless we got the motionless ones, that it was pointless. It was going to have to be something that was wiped down after every single person. And so, and the those aren't available. They're, I mean, you can't find them anywhere. So, you know, we're going to have wipes that we leave in there, the hand sanitizer wipes for people to take. I have a feeling that people are going to be so paranoid about this, the ones that are, that they're probably going to have their own hand sanitizer with them.
Yeah.
So, like, I personally carry around a big bottle of Lysol Clorox wipes in my car all the time because I don't like touching money. And so I like to wipe my hands off with that. So I think those people are going to be those people still, you know, if not more so. So, I mean, we'll wipe down and do everything we, you know, normally do. But again, as y'all know, when you've got 200 people in a room, it's impossible to keep a doorknob wiped off the whole time, you know, that people are going in and out of. So it'll, you know, be, it'll be eye-opening to see, you know, how people respond to that.
Yeah.
We keep a pretty clean place anyway. You know, our bathrooms and stuff, we're constantly checking and wiping down and doing all that anyway. So that will remain the same.
Yes. Boy, this has been really interesting. Really interesting. Just so you know, Dixie, we were just on the phone with somebody from New York City. Their venue's in Chelsea, right in Manhattan. They don't have an event on the books till January. So.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And well, they had, what'd she say? They had a couple of bar mitzvahs in November, but their planners already called and said that they're looking at other options. So, I mean, it's just so different state by state. So it was really, really fascinating to talk to everybody in the different parts of the country and, you know, see how people are feeling and what's going on and what a lot of people just don't know anything. So you're one of the lucky ones that knows, yeah, we're having a wedding in a couple weeks here, 3 weeks. You're going to have 60 people at the farm.
Well, you know, I think, yeah, I told you when we spoke the other day that there was a downtown venue here in Rome 2 weeks ago that had a concert for the Velcro Pygmies. And I mean, I don't know who they are, but apparently a lot of people like them and it was packed. And that same venue has, they're consistently booked now through the summer with concerts like every weekend in this nightclub. So, and I don't know how they did it or how they got away. I am certain that those people did not stay 6 feet away from each other while they were drinking and dancing and listening to the Velcro Pygmies.
Wow.
But again, it's so unclear, you know what I mean? And like them not saying you can't, I mean, do this, this and that. A wedding venue and a concert venue, they're way, you know, way different than a restaurant.
Yeah, for sure. All right, lady. Well, thank you so much for calling in and giving everybody an update. It was really good to see you again.
Thank you.
Good to see y'all. Lovely. Thanks, y'all.
All right. Bye, Dixie.
Come to Georgia.
Okay.
Bye.
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 All right. Well, I think that probably finishes up. I don't think we have any more to add to this, right?
Nope, that was it. We wanted to check in. That's who we know. All those venues will be on our show notes online. And if you have questions, you know, always email us. I'll run through our outro now when I find it. Did you have anything else?
No.
Okay. So please subscribe on iTunes. If you're listening on iTunes, you can rate and review us there. It means a lot and it matters a lot. So please keep doing that or do that if you haven't already. On Instagram, we're at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. We also have a Facebook page and we have a Facebook community group. So please check that out. If you are interested in connecting with other listeners who are in the midst of planning their weddings as well, it's a great supportive kind of hive mind community. And Michelle and I rely on the answers that we get there and the feedback for upcoming shows and questions for guests. And we just love it. So join us there. Just look for the Big Wedding Planning Podcast community group. Our website is thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. All the episodes are there. Our email is thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. And that's the best way to get in touch with us. And we said that Dixie was a patron. We've talked to a few other of our patrons lately for episodes, and We would love for you to join us there. If you have $5 or $10 to spare a month, if we're helping you to plan your wedding, our Patreon page is patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. And all of those contributions just mean a lot to us, and they're helping us stay afloat and able to keep putting out content and episodes every week. So consider that if you can. And we also have a phone number. If you want to call us and leave a message, you will hear your voicemail perhaps on an upcoming episode. That number is
415-723-1625.
That's it.
All righty, everybody. Happy planning. Stay safe. We love y'all. Christy, love you, love your show.
Bye.
Bye.